Parnasha will say, good morning, good morning, good morning. We thank the sponsors of this morning's shiur. First of all, we'll say the klal is, whatever is written is what I read. Ben, Bas, whatever it is. So I take, oh, good. So the shiur is dedicated this morning by Tzvi Wilner and the Schuss of Refuah Shlema for Ruvein Nachum Ben. Chana Miriam, who is having knee surgery today, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he will have a complete and enduring refuah. We thank our week of learning sponsors, the Weiss Sport Children, for dedicating the Shiurim this week in memory of their grandmother, Shena Chana, Bas Harav Yaakov Yitzchak Halevi, and Jack Bennett for dedicating all of the learning this week in memory of his grandfather, Rafael Benashvili. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And we thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Shvat, Ed and Faith Wolf, for dedicating all the Shiurim and Drashos this month in memory of Faith's mother, Nessa Bas Velvel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And Abosi, with that, let us begin. So hopefully you did your homework yesterday. I sent out the recording last night, so okay. So we are picking up. I see from some of the expressions that some of you did not. Okay, you'll do it today, Emirat Hashem. That recording is there. We are picking up, Emirat Hashem, this morning. Today's daf is Chavav 26. And we are picking up on the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Beis 25b. And we're picking up Rav Achai. So we'll say it's four lines up from the bottom. Rav Achai. So Rav Achai Yosek Le Librei Be Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Martel. So we'll say what happened. Rav Achai, I recorded this way. We have actually like a chance of getting through the entire daf instead of having to rush through everything. So if you didn't do it, it's okay. It's the continuation of the sukkis that we did yesterday. So Rav Achai was arranging for the wedding of his son, and his son was marrying the daughter of Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Martel. Aili the chuppah. So Rav Achai brought his son to the chuppah. V'lo hava mistaya milsa. So we'll say, interestingly enough, if you look at Rashi, v'lo hava mistaya milsa, dinisuin shelo haya yachol livol. So we'll say, for whatever the reason, so Rav Achai's son was unable to consummate his marriage on the wedding night. So what happens? Azul basrei de yune. So apparently the son told his father about this issue. So Rav Achai went to investigate where the young couple was living. Chaza sefer Torah de mancha. And he found that ultimately, again, there was a sefer Torah in the place, in the room where the couple was to engage in relations. Amalahu, Iku hashta lo asai sakanton libri. Had I not come here, ultimately, again, my son would have been put in sakana. Right? My son would have been put in danger. Disanyo, Baishi yishbo sefer Torah otfilin. So we'll say the halacha is that if you have a home where there is a sefer Torah or there is tefillin, one is not permitted to engage in marital relations until you remove it from the home or until you place it a kli in a kli. In other words, or a double covering. So this, by the way, is actually, so first of all, just so you appreciate what happened over here, just to understand that Rav Achai's son, the level he must have been on, that ultimately, again, to have such a spiritual sensitivity, that even though he did not know of the presence of the Sefer Torah there, he was physically unable to consummate the marriage, because ultimately, again, his neshama sensed that there was a Sefer Torah there. Meaning, he was unaware of the circumstances, yet lamaisa, again, I guess this is what happens when a person is so in tune with their ruchnius, that their ruchnius impacts their gashmius, right? Their spirituality impacts their physicality. Quite amazing. The Gemara says, "Amar Abaye lo shanu ella, elik bekli she'eno kelyon, aval bekli shehu kelyon afilo asara mani kichad manadami." So Abaye says, and Abaye says, this indeed is halacha lemaisa, by the way, that ultimately, again, a sefer Torah, or for that matter, again, tefillin, in order to have relation, if one is in the same room with them, in order to have relations, it has to be a kli besoch kli, two coverings. And Abaye says, the idea being that the two coverings can't be, like, for example, Abaye says, the mantle of the Torah, right? Let's say a Torah has a cover. That's not called a covering. Why? Because that's part and parcel of the Torah. The same way, by the way, so I will say, so the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins this idea that you need a kli besoch kli. One of those coverings could be the natural covering of the item. As long as you have a secondary covering, which is not inherently linked to the item. I'll give you an example of this. A tefillin bag. So we'll say, a tefillin bag, is a covering for tefillin, but that's a unique covering that is made for tefillin. So let's say if you have your tefillin bag inside of a plastic bag, that is a kli besoch kli. That's utensil in a utensil. The plastic bag itself is not considered to be inherently unique for tefillin. Therefore, again, it works in conjunction with the tefillin bag, which is made for tefillin. So therefore, again, that would be an example of kli besoch kli. So technically speaking, if you were to take your tefillin into the bathroom, again, technically, if it was a bag within a plastic bag, technically it would be okay. Technically, it would be all right. But I will say, but again, halacha lemaisa, generally what we do with these kinds of things is if a person has, let's say, tefillin in their bedroom, they would, even if you have a kli besoch kli, you would still cover it. Anything, any davar shebikdusha, ultimately, again, a tefillin, sefer Torah requires a double covering. Amar Rava, Rava says, glima, top of chavav, akamtura, kikli besoch kli. See, he says literally again, a glima means a cloak, kamtura is a bookcase, is like a kli besoch kli. Look at Rashi, kamtura, arga shal svarim, with Megillah, kamatri, the svari, v'chein tirgam, yonosan, begins the aroma. So also listen to this. So if you have svarim, let's say, in a bookcase, if you were to place a cloak on top of the bookcase, so that would enclose the svarim, because they both say, the same halacha applies to svarim. One cannot have relations in a room in which there are svarim. So therefore, again, that would also... Now, svarim don't necessarily require a kli besoch kli. They don't require that heightened level of covering. That's more reserved for tefillin and mezuzahs. But halacha lemaisa, if you were to go ahead, if you have a bookcase and you put a cloak on top of it, that's like a kli besoch kli. I'm going to be Yeshua ben Levi. So what's Yeshua ben Levi says as follows. Sefer Torah, Sarach Lasos Lo Mechitza Asara. So Yeshua ben Levi says it's even more. Kli besoch kli, he says, is not enough for Sefer Torah. Rather, you need a real mechitza. You need a real partition, a real barrier. And what kind of barrier? A barrier that's at least 10 tefachim high. To literally go ahead and put the Sefer Torah in a separate rishos. Marzucha ikra ikla lebe Ravashi. So Marzucha went to ask Ravashi, Chazi le duchte de mar baravashi, de manich be sefer Torah, va'avid le mechitza asara. And ultimately, again, he saw that mar baravashi had a sefer Torah, and in his bedroom or in a place ultimately where he slept with his wife, and ultimately he saw that he made a mechitza of 10 tefachim. Amrle Kiman Krav Yeshua ben Levi. So both say Rabbi Zutra, so ultimately Marzucha sees this and he says, oh, Rav Ashi is going ahead and conducting himself like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. That Kli Besoch Kli is not enough for Sefer Torah. Rather, one requires what? One requires a mechitza. To which the Gemara Sabos is actually very interesting. So Marzucha comes along and says, Imar Dor Yeshua ben Levi, the less Besa Achrina, Marhu Isle Besa Achrina. Amrle Lava Datoi. So we'll say, to which Marzucha says Rav Ashi, when does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say that you should erect a mechitza that is 10 tefachim? That's only if you don't have another place to put the Sefer Torah. But what's the ideal? The ideal is take the Sefer Torah out of the house or out of the place where you are sleeping and deposit it elsewhere. To which Rav Ashi responded, you know what? I didn't think about that. So both say, so therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, it appears that if a person has a Sefer Torah in their home, so the best thing, of course, is place it somewhere where not in a bedroom. That's obvious. Place it somewhere not in a bedroom. If it's going to be in a bedroom, so the ideal would be perhaps mechitza. By placing a mechitza of asara, 10 tefachim mechitza, places the Sefer Torah in a separate rishos. And if not, kli besoch kli is able to work as well. Kamer yarchik mehen minatzoa arba amos. So also, remember again, the Mishnah said, how much must a person distance themselves from excrement, from waste? So dalet amos. So we'll say this need to distance oneself from excrement of dalet amos. This is only if what? If it's behind me. If it's behind me, avalafonov marchik meloinov. So we'll say again, if the excrement is in front of me, the idea would be to go ahead and distance myself as far as the eye can see. Right. So the idea would be not to be able to see it. So the Gemara says v'chein l'tfila, and the same is true ultimately again for Shmona Esrei. Ini is that so? V'hamara Rafin Bar Papa Amrav Chista Omed Adam Kineged Beis Hakisei Umispalel. So we'll say yet again, Rafin Bar Papa said in the name of Rav Chista that a person could stand literally opposite a bathroom and daven, which I will say indicates to us now again the assumption is that where there's a bathroom there's waste. So you just said before like this. You said before that if the waste is behind me, so I could daven, I could distance myself up to Dalet Amos, and that's going to be enough. If the waist is in front of me, then I have to distance myself enough that I no longer see it. Yet here, we're saying that what? A person could daven even opposite the bathroom. Remember, again, their bathroom, Rabbeinu says, where there is waste that is actually present. Which sounds like, even if the waist is right in front of me, I can daven. So what are we talking about? We're talking about a besakise, a bathroom that does not have human waste in it. Doesn't have anything in there. Rashi says, Shepino Osa, they cleaned it out. They cleaned it out. So because they cleaned it out, therefore, again, you can go ahead and you could daven opposite it. Ini, is that so? Vahamra of Yosef Barchanino, Beis HaKisi she'amru af api she'ein bo tsoa. Or Beis HaMerchat she'amru af api she'ein bo adam. Yet, Rabbi said, we learned that what? Whenever the Gemara speaks about a Beis HaKisi, and the implications of a Beis HaKisi vis-a-vis davening, or the implications of a Beis HaMerchat, it's a bathhouse. So this is true even if the Beis HaKisi has no actual waste in it. Or this is true in the Beis HaMerchat, even if what? There's no one there. So we'll say, essentially what we say, it kind of goes back to yesterday's discussion. As you saw in your homework, the homework covered the halachos concerning bedpans. Bedpans, right? And the whole chap with bedpans was that you have certain items that because of their use, By definition, are considered to be unclean. Even if physically there's nothing in there right now, but because of the use to unclean, the Gemara says, usually we assume that bathrooms, Beis HaKisi and Beis HaMerchatz, are designated a certain way. So even if there's no waste in the bathroom, or even if there's no one in the bathhouse, these places have a certain status vis-a-vis tefillah. So who cares? Even if for argument's sake you cleaned out the waste from the Beis HaKisi, how are you permitted to daven opposite that area? This is very interesting. How come I'm asking, what's the case? Bechadeti. We'll say a brand new bathroom. Uninaugurated, right? A brand new bathroom. So we'll say, so now watch this. This goes back to our discussion we had 2 days ago. Vahami Baile Ravina, his Mila Beis HaKisi Mahu. We'll say, what happens if you designate a place as a Beis HaKisi, as a bathroom? I will say, remember again, in Talmudic times, this didn't require all that much. The designation required, right? A shovel, right? A shovel. You dug a hole in the ground, mazel tov, right? Right? You know, that's the cornerstone. I will say, so that's really it. Obviously, some structure around it. But let's say you designated a place as a Beis HaKisi, but it was not yet used. So now the Shaila is about to say, what is the status of that place? His middle of Beis HaKisi Mao, Yesh Zimun or In Zimun. Rabbi said, do we say that there's designation? And most remember again, we had this discussion, if you remember again, by the tefillin bag, right? If you have a bag that you designated for the use of tefillin, but then you have a change of heart and instead you would like to use it as a monogrammed lunch bag, do you have the ability to do that or not? Hazmana milsa, hazmana lav milsa. So again, we spoke about the idea that at least for the tefillin bag purposes, what do you need? You need designation and usage. Only once it's been designated and used does it become unusable for something else. But designation by itself without usage will not preclude you from repurposing it for a different use. So what about Hizmino the Beis HaKisi? What about if you designate the Beis HaKisi? What's the status there? So the Gemara says, Yesh Zimun or Ein Zimun? To which the Gemara says, Ki kami by Le Ravina. Lemeke male litziluye begava. Aval knegdo lo. So Rabbi says, so when does this become a shayla? So Rabbi says, so the truth is, if you have a place that has been designated as a Beis HaKisi, the only shayla is if you could daven inside of it. That's the shayla. That's when then we'll get into, is designation meaningful? Is designation not meaningful? That's can you daven inside of it? But Rabbi says, if you have a place that's been designated as a Beis HaKisi, but never used as a Beis HaKisi, everyone agrees that what? That halacha lemaisa, you can daven where? Opposite it. Which is logical. Why? Because we'll say the whole issue of not davening opposite a Beis HaKisi is a one of a presence of waste. It's been used for a certain way or there's presently waste there. But lemaisa, if it's been designated but not yet used, okay, so I hear the shayla, can I daven inside of it? Can you daven inside a place that's been designated as a Beis HaKisi? But to daven opposite it is certainly no problem according to everyone. We'll say, now this is incredible. Amar Rava, Hani Bate Kisai De Parsoi. Persian bathrooms. Abagav the isput soa kistumin damu. Even though there is waste there, it is as if ultimately again they are closed up. Which is another way of saying that perhaps one will be permitted to go ahead and daven opposite Persian bathrooms. What's the pshat? with Persian bathrooms. Rashi says the parsoi bechafira hayu. So we'll say what Persian bathrooms is, they would dig a deep hole at an angle, at a slant. So what would happen? When a person would defecate in a Persian bathroom, the waste would roll down into a deep tunnel. So we'll say, so amazingly enough, for Persian bathrooms, the waste was not considered to be extant. It was not considered to be there. Therefore, again, a lot of the halachos that we've been speaking about regarding Persian bathrooms, regarding Beis HaKisei, would not necessarily apply in Persian bathrooms. So we'll say, of course, you see where you can go with this. Right? Lemais, again, this is why, interestingly enough, our contemporary bathrooms, the Pashtus, do not have the status of a Beis HaKisei of the Gemara. Not to say that one could daven inside of them, but Lamaisa, again, because ultimately, again, waste is taken out, so you see, again, what really drives the halachos of Beis HaKisei of the Gemara is the fact that you have present waste. You see over here that the Persian bathrooms, where the waste is still there just in a tunnel, the whole game changes. So again, we treat our bathrooms like a Beis HaKisei. So all the halachos that apply to a Beis HaKisei, we apply to our bathrooms, right? So that we don't bring in Dvarim Shebekdusha. We don't speak there if possible. We don't say the Shem Hashem there, of course, the name of God there. All these different kinds of things. But it is interesting just to note that in a pure halachic sense, our bathrooms are not like the Beis HaKisei ultimately of the Gemara. Good. But he says the Mishnah, Zav Shera Kari V'Nida Shepalta Shechazar. So we quoted this Mishnah a couple of days ago, but now we're seeing it in the actual Mishnah form. So if you have a Zav, so also remember again, a Zav is a man who has some type of emission, non-seminal emission, that ultimately, again, gives him a state of Tumah. So remember again, let's say a man has three emissions, woman has three emissions, they're Tumah for 7 days. So what happens if you have a Zav who has a seminal emission? So we'll say, still on the topic of Takanas Ezra, right? Ezra made a Takana, Ezra made an enactment that when a man has a seminal emission, he has to go to the mikvah. So let's say, for that matter, that's a woman as well, right? If a woman emits seed after an act of relation, she also goes to the mikvah. So we'll say, so the Shaila over here is as follows. Actually, a woman after the act of relations also has to go to the mikvah. So as I said, the issue over here is, what happens if I have a person who's already tummy? He's already Tameh. He has a Keri emission. So the Shaila, of course, becomes, does he have to go to the mikvah? Does he have to go to the mikvah for Keri? Even though, again, even if he goes to the mikvah for Keri, nevertheless, what? What? He's still going to be in a state of Tumah. Or for that matter, Nida Shepalta Shechvah Zera, a woman who's a Nida. Again, so she had relations, became a Nida, and now she emits seed. She emits Zera. So does she have to go to the mikvah for Keri purposes, given the fact that she is still a Nida? V'amishamesha shera'asa Nida. Or for that matter, again, a woman who has relations and then again becomes a Nida. So all these cases, tzrichin tvila. We'll say in all of these cases, ultimately, these people still require tevila for Takanas Ezra. Even though, again, when they go to the mikvah for Keri, nevertheless, what? What? They're still going to be Tame, right? The Keri immersion does not change their underlying Tumah. Still, Takanas Ezra says, remember again, Abbas, what was Takanas Ezra for? Takanas Ezra was, you shouldn't daven and you shouldn't learn until you go to the mikvah for Keri. It's a rabbinic enactment. So the idea being is, you go to the mikvah for Takanas Ezra, even if you still have underlying Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're Pater. So also remember again, this is Rabbi Yehuda's idea in general, that Ein Divrei Torah Mekablin Tumah. Right, this idea of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what Rabbi Yehuda does with Takanas Ezra is a different discussion. But Lamais, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could daven and you could learn even in a state of Keri Tumah. So says the Gemara, Ibailuhu Bal Keri Shera Aziva Rabbi Yehuda Mahu. We'll say, what about the following case? What happens if you reverse the order? What happens if a man first became a Bal Keri and then he became a Zav? Right. So his Keri Tumah preceded his Zivus. So what did Rabbi Yehuda say in that case? Would Rabbi Yehuda still exempt him from going to the mikvah? On one hand, kipat Rabbi Yehuda hasa b'zav shara keri demeikara la bar tvilahu. So on one hand, in the Mishnah's case, where the man is first a zav and then becomes a bal keri, maybe that's where Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't go to the mikvah. Why not? Because l'maisa, his immersion for keri purposes does nothing to go ahead and take care of his underlying zivus issue. Aval bal keri shera ziva de me ikara bar tefilahu mechayiv. Rabbi says it first becomes a bal keri and then becomes a zav. Where if he would have gone to the mikvah immediately, he could have remedied his keri status. Then maybe Rabbi Yehuda would require him to go to the mikvah, or odil maloshna, or perhaps Rabbi says at the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda holds that once there is an underlying tumah status, you no longer have to go to the mikvah for any kind of carry. So Tashma, both of let's analyze. Hamishameshes v'ra'a sanida tzricha tvila. If a woman had relations and then became a nida, ultimately, again, she requires tefillah. She has to go to the mikvah for takanas Ezra. For Rabbi Huda Poter, Rabbi Huda says, no, she does not, because now that she's a nida, she has an underlying tumah, and immersion for carry purposes is going to be meaningless. I v'ha mishameshes v'ra'a sanida kebal keri shera'a ziva damyo. But one second, the case of a woman who has relations and then becomes a nida is the equivalent of a case of a man who was a bal keri and then became a zav. And yet what? The kapat Rabbi Huda, and you see that Rabbi Huda still exempts. Shmamina, that is indeed the case. So you see from here that Rabbi Huda's position is that whenever there is another underlying source of tumah that will not be alleviated through a bal keri immersion, Rabbi Yehuda does not require a carry immersion. Tani Rabbi Chiya Behedja, Rabbi Chiya says this explicitly, Bal keri shera aziva, tzricha tevila. That a bal keri ultimately, again, who has a zav emission, does not require requires tevila. That's the Tanakama's opinion for Rabbi Yehuda Poter. Rabbi Yehuda ultimately says that you are pata. So both say, so just a word about Takanas Ezra. The Shulchan Aruch does codify Takanas Ezra, that if a man has a seminal emission, he should go to the mikvah before learning Torah and ultimately davening. But again, the Shulchan Aruch also says that essentially Takanas Ezra became a gzera she'in hatzibor yachol la'amud bo. Both say the rabbis have the right to enact legislation as long as it's legitimate legislation that the general populace could uphold. Takanas Ezra was seen as creating undue or too much difficulty among the general populace. So we'll say we saw this already in the Gemara, because the Gemara said what was happening as a result of Takanas Ezra? One of two things. Either Bittel Torah or Bittel Piri of Arivia. Either people were abstaining from relations because they wouldn't be able to get to a mikvah, or they were abstaining from learning and davening because they weren't able to get to a mikvah. So because of that, the collateral damage of the takana outweighed the benefit. The idea was very good, right? But ultimately, again, the damage outweighed the benefit, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, it was essentially repealed or kind of just fell off. If the general populace cannot deal with it, so it doesn't even have to be actively repealed, it just never takes on. However, as I think we mentioned this before, the Mishnah Berurah does mention that when possible, a person should go ahead and utilize Tisha Kabin. And we spoke about this before. So a person should utilize the mechanism of pouring 9 kav of water, which means that after relations, a person should be makbid to take a shower. This way, again, before learning or before davening. This way, ultimately, again, one has at least fulfilled Takanas Ezra in some way, in some fashion. Good. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, Hadron Alach Misha Mesu. Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. Our third parak of Maseches Brachas. Finished. Right? So we'll say now we begin the fourth chapter. So now this is actually a very, very, very exciting chapter. And we're going to begin to get into a lot of the halachos that really characterize Maseches Brachas. A lot of the halachos of this. So here we go. Tfilas HaShachar. So remember again, up until now, chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Maseches Brachas focus on Shema. Now we're going to see chapters 4 and 5 focus on Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei. Tfilas HaShachar ad Chatzos. You can daven Shachris up until Chatzos. Until midday. Midday. And I will say, you understand, of course, that whenever we speak about timing in Halacha, these are what's called Shos Zmanios, Halachic hours. So Halachic hours are taken by going ahead and measuring time between, we'll call it for now, sunrise and sunset, although we'll see even then there's a little bit of a machlokes, between sunrise and sunset, and dividing those hours into 12 equal parts. Which is why, depending on the time of year, an hour can be more or less than 60 minutes in halacha. So just to be very clear, chatzos does not, sometimes chatzos could be 12 p.m., but it could also not be 12 p.m. So for our purposes, I will say, to illustrate a lot of these halachos, we're going to use the perfect halachic day. The perfect halachic day is where sunrise is at 6 a.m. and sunset is at 6 p.m. That's going to be our perfect halachic din. We'll chart everything on that graph. So Tfilas HaShachar Ad Chatzos. You could daven Shachris until midday. 12 p.m. Rabbi say, I just don't want to go on record. That's not L'chatchila. Right? Okay, I just want to, right? So I see the idea is, this is when you could daven until Chatzos. Rabbi Huda Omer Ad Dalet Shos. Rabbi Huda says, no, the time for Shachris is until 4 hours into the day. So Rabbi say, so again, in our perfect halachic day, this would mean until 10 a.m. 10 a.m. is the time you could daven in Shachris until. HaMincha, when can you daven Mincha until? Ada Erev, until evening. So we'll say, so again, you begin to see, Rashi says, for example, Ada Erev is Ad Chashecha. And I will say, you're going to see why this is very exciting, because what does that mean? Is Chashecha nightfall? Is that Seisa Kochavim? Is that sunset? Shkia Sachama? So we're going to have to see. Rabbi Huda says, no, Ad Plaga Mincha, until Plaga Mincha. What that means, we'll see in the Gemara. Tfilah Sa'erev, what about Ma'ariv? Ein la keva. Rabbi say it has no shear and no amount, which means you could daven Ma'ariv the entire night. Now, why doesn't the Mishnah just say ein la keva? Rabbi say make it sound like it has no limitations at all. That's not true. Ma'ariv does have a limitation. You can only daven Ma'ariv until daybreak. So the Gemara will say why we use this lashon v'shal musaf and kol yom. Rabbi say you could daven musaf the entire day as well. Rabbi Huda says no ad zayin shos. Rabbi Huda says musaf could only be davened up until 7 hours into the day. Good. Bose says the Gemara or minhu mitzasem and etzachama k'deshi yismok gud l'tfila v'nimtzam espal hayom. Now, Bose, interestingly enough, we have two opinions in the Mishnah as to the timing of Shachris. Right? Rabbi Huda said until 4 hours into the day, and Rabbi Huda said until 4 hours into the day, Tanakama said until Chatzos. Here's the problem. We have another Braisa that says that you should daven Shmona Esrei with sunrise. So which one is it? Kitanya Hila Vasikin. Both say this statement about davening Shmona Esrei with sunrise, this is the din of Vasikin. Right? Kiyam Rabbi Yochanan Vasikin Hayu Gomrim Osam and Eitzachama. So we'll say ultimately again the Vasikin, right? The diligent ones with daven Shmona Esrei ultimately again with sunrise. So we'll say, so therefore we see really V'chuli Ama, sorry, and Eitzachama. So we'll say, so that's the idea. You can go ahead. So the Vasikin with daven Shmona Esrei with sunrise, the Rabbanan say you have until Chatzos. Rabbi Huda says you have until 4 hours. The Gemara says V'chuli Ama at Chatzos V'sulo. Is that true that you only have up until Chatzos to daven Shachris? So we'll listen to this. Is it true that you only have until midday to daven Shachris? Yet Rabbi Yochanan said that what? If you forgot to daven Ma'ariv, you could daven Shachris twice. And if you forgot to daven Shachris, you could daven Mincha twice. So we'll say, so you see from here that what? That really technically, the Gemara is viewing this as the ability to daven Shachris even past Chatzos. So the Gemara says, Kula Yoma Matziva Azil. So ultimately, again, you see that technically speaking, you could daven the entire day. To which the Gemara says, Ad Chatzos, Yoavile Schar Tfila Bizmano. Mikan Ve'elach, Schar Tfila Yahavile, Schar Tfila Bizmano Lo Yahavile. So to which the Gemara says, up until Chatzos, you get Schar Tfila Bizmano, or up until Dalet Shas Kontra Bihuda. So up until the warranted time, that's when you get the reward for prayer in its appropriate time. If you miss the appropriate time, technically speaking, you can still get the reward for prayer, but what? Not the reward for prayer in its right time. So we'll say, just to understand what just happened over here, the Gemara kind of slid in this concept with absolutely no introduction. The concept ultimately of tashlumin. The idea being that if you miss a tefillah, if you miss a davening, you can make up your missed davening in the next davening. To which the Gemara says, Ibari Luhu. So this is the concept called tashlumin, make up prayer. I miss Shachris, I could daven Mincha twice. So we'll say, just so you know, the way that works is you'll daven Mincha twice. The first Shmona Esrei you daven is for Mincha. The second Shmona Esrei is the makeup Shmona Esrei for Shachris. Now, the mechanics of that, like, how does that work? What does that mean? I'm making up Shachris at Mincha time. It's no longer Shachris if it's being done by Mincha. So we'll have to see the mechanics. See, buddy, we'll say, watch this. Listen to this. What happens if I missed Mincha? So according to this, if I miss Mincha, what do I do? No problem. Daven Ma'ariv twice. Here's the problem. Does that actually work? After all, So I understand why if I miss Ma'ariv, I could daven Shachris twice. Why? Same day. Same calendrical day. Aval hocha tefila b'mkom karbani. V'chevan de'avar yoma batal karbano. O Dilma, kevan de'tzalusa rachamihi kol emas de'boi matzli v'azah. So let's listen to this. The Gemara says, we assume that prayer takes the place of karbanic service, which means that the mincha tefila corresponds to the tamid shel bein rabban, the afternoon communal sacrifice. So we'll say, how does it work with karbanos? If you miss the day, what we call avar yomo avar zmano batal karbano, once you miss the particular day for that karban, you're done. You can't make it up. So if prayer is in lieu of karban, so if I missed mincha, should I be able to daven ma'ariv twice? The answer is no. Why? Because ma'ariv represents a separate day. Therefore, I should be able to make up mincha twice. If on the other hand, however, prayer is just about rachami, it's divine supplication, you should be able to supplicate ultimately whenever you need to. So Moshe says, so the shaila is, can I make up a missed mincha in a tashlumun of ma'ariv? Tashma adam rav unam rav yudam rav yitzhak am rav yochanan tavlo esmal mincha esmal avis beis. Ve'ein bazeh mishum de'arim abad l'kabana. So we'll say quite explicit over here. Rav unam rav yehud is saying, rav yitzhak saying, rav yochanan, if you miss mincha, you could daven ma'ariv twice, and we don't apply the concept of avar yomo batal karbano. We don't apply the concept that once you miss the day, the karban can no longer be offered. So Moshe says, this is very interesting, because even though what we're saying is, even though tefilos correspond, prayer corresponds to karbanic service, right? Remember, I should say, tefillah comes to make up for the lost karbanic service. We don't apply the principles of karbanos to tefillah in every way. Therefore, although if you were to miss the tamid shel bein rabban, the afternoon sacrifice, there is no makeup for that the next day, right? Because once the day is over, the day is over. Avar yomo batal karbano. Nevertheless, if you miss the prayer of mincha, you what? You can make that up by davening ma'ariv twice. Pretty amazing. Semesve, the Gemara is the kasha. Muvas lo yuchal liskan v'cheswan yiluchal limano. So we'll say the pasuk in Kohelet says, that which is crooked cannot be straightened, and that which is missing cannot be counted. Rabbi say, this is incredible. What does this refer to? Muvas lo yuchal liskan. Something is crooked, it can't be straightened. Zeh shebit al kriyash mashal arvis. Rabbi say, o kriyash mashal shach. So we'll say, this refers to someone who fails to recite Kriya Shema in the morning or Kriya Shema in the evening. Once you miss it, it can't be made up. In other words, once it's crooked, it cannot be straightened out. So the Gemara says, O Tfilah Shal Arvis, or if you miss Shmona Esrei of Shacharis or Shmona Esrei of Ma'ariv, it cannot be made up. Once it's crooked, it cannot be straightened. The Chesron Lo Yuchal Imanos, that which is missing, cannot be counted. This refers to a person whose friends were going to do a mitzvah. They invited him to join them, but what? He did not do so. Rechavo said, do you hear this incredible Yisod? For a moment, just leave us. We'll say, what's the Musar? The Musar is, there are always second chances in life. Always second chances. But second chances don't give you a second shot at the first chances you missed. We'll see here this chilek. Meaning, there's always second chances in that halacha lemaaseh, you always get the opportunity to start again. But just because you start again doesn't automatically give you a shot at the opportunities you missed the first time around. I can reinvent myself, but just because I can reinvent myself doesn't mean that the opportunities that presented themselves to me before are going to present themselves to me again. Opportunities come around, and if you don't take them, you don't take them. And those opportunities are often lost forever. Will there be other opportunities? There are always other opportunities. But Lamaisa, once you close the door on opportunity, rarely in life can you open it again. Hopefully it makes you more vigilant for new opportunities. That's what it means. Once it's crooked, it can't be straightened out. Once it's lost, it cannot be counted. You had an opportunity to do a mitzvah and you didn't take it? That ship has sailed. There'll be other ships in Meretz Hashem, but that ship is lost forever. Once you went ahead and you lost out on Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis, Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, will there be other opportunities for Shema in subsequent days? Absolutely. But this opportunity is gone forever. We'll see how much it sensitizes us to our opportunities in life. You know, so often we assume, if I don't take this opportunity, there'll be other opportunities. That's often true. There will be other opportunities. But this opportunity right now comes along often once in life. Now, it doesn't. Maybe you don't want to take it for whatever the reason, but Lamaisa, just know that when it's presenting itself once. be very careful and don't lose out on the opportunity to seize it. So we'll say, but for our purposes, Lemais, again, what did you just see from this Braisa? You see from this Braisa that what? That if you miss Shmona Esrei, Chazal call that what? Something that is crooked that cannot be straightened, which sounds like what? Once you miss Shmona Esrei, then what? Then what? There's no makeup. So what's going on over here? Amar Abisa Chachamai Askinan. Shebitel b'mezid. Amar Avashi dekanami dektani bitel v'lo katani ta'ashvamina. Oh, I will say, watch this. When do you have the opportunity to make up Shmona Esrei? That's when. When you miss it, what? Accidentally, b'shogeg. So I overslept, or I was in a meeting and I just didn't realize that this man, you know, forgot. I made a mistake. See, if you made a mistake, there's a mechanism called Tashlumin, and Tashlumin gives you the opportunity to make up the tefillah that you missed. However, if it wasn't a mistake, but you purposely didn't daven, for whatever the reason, there is no makeup under those circumstances. So I will say, this is very important, halacha and tashlumin. The halacha, make up tefillos, tashlumin, ultimately is only in a case of shogig, but not in a case of mezid. I'll tell you a little secret. Even in a case of mezid, right, there's always an opportunity to make up a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's what's called a tefillas nedava. So again, technically speaking, you could offer up a gift prayer. So that's not tashlumin. And at the end of the day, again, that does not come really to make up the lost tefillah, but at least like this, a person does have an opportunity to daven an additional shmona. So we'll get into the halachos of tefillah tashlumin a little bit. So now we are introduced to this concept, ultimately, again, of tefillas tashlumin, make up tefillah, only if accidentally missed, but not if intentionally. So now that we got into this tashlumin, we're going to speak a bit more about it. So we'll say, now watch this. Let's say a person did not daven mincha on Erev Shabbos. So we'll say, see, up until now, the concept of tashlumin was with like Shmona Esreis. Now we're going to get into the interesting topic of what happens if you miss a tefillah. But the makeup prayer, right, the time for the makeup prayer is different than the tefillah that you miss. So for example, you missed mincha on Erev Shabbos. So okay, when you miss mincha, what do you do, Abu Sayyid? When you miss mincha, what do you do? You daven ma'arif twice. What happens now if the missed prayer was a weekday prayer? The makeup prayer is a Shabbos prayer. So it says the Gemara, no problem, mispal of Shabbos time. You just daven ma'arif of Shabbos twice. Tevlo ispal mincha b'Shabbos. Similarly, again, if you missed mincha on Shabbos, Mispal b'motzei Shabbos tayim. You daven two ma'arivs on motzei Shabbos. Right? So we'll say, even though again the Shmona Esreis are dissimilar. So we'll say, if you're davening two Shmona Esreis on motzei Shabbos, shalchol mavdil b'rishona. Shalchol mavdil b'rishona v'ina mavdil b'shnia. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the way it works with tashlumin, as I mentioned before, is when you're davening a makeup Shmona Esrei, first you daven the obligatory Shmona Esrei, then you daven the makeup Shmona Esrei. So if you missed mincha on Shabbos, you're going to daven ma'ariv twice. But the way that's going to work is you're going to say Atachan Antanu in Shmona Esrei number one, because that solidifies the identity of that Shmona Esrei as what? As your weekday prayer. And then you don't say Atachan Antanu in the second Shmona Esrei, as that goes in and solidifies that Shmona Esrei as your makeup. Vim Hivdol B'Shniyah V'lo Hivdol B'Rishona. What happens if you said Avdallah in the second Shmona Esrei, but not in the first? Then what Rabbo say? See, in this case, where you said Avdallah in the second one, and not in the first, what are you doing? What have you done? You've demonstrated that it's the second Shmona Esrei that is your obligatory one, and the first one was your makeup one. Well, in that case, the second one counts, the first one does not. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So what that would mean is, the second one counts as your weekday Shmona Esrei, as your obligatory tefillah. And if you want to daven a tashlumin, then what? You have to daven another Shmona Esrei. So I will say, the idea being that when it comes to tashlumin, order is very important. So if you miss the tefillah, you're davening a makeup Shmona Esrei, you must pray, you must daven the obligatory prayer first and the makeup prayer second. And if you go in and you mess up that order, then halacha l'maaseh, you compromise the tefillah. So for example, you missed mincha on Shabbos, you're going to daven ma'ariv on Matzei Shabbos twice. Ultimately, again, you must make Havdalah in the first and not make Havdalah in the second. I will say, we're going to see, if you made Havdalah in neither, it's okay. The problem is, if you don't make Havdalah in the first and you do make Havdalah in the second, that's where it's problematic. Because in that case, again, you're doing something demonstrative that the second Shmona Esrei is the obligatory one and the first one is the Tashlumin one, and that does not work. Lememra, to which the Gemara says, now I will say, now it's interesting. Lememra, the Chivun de lo Avdol b'kamaisa kemaisa mandalot salidami. So what you're saying to me, essentially, Rabbi says, in this case, because you did not recite Havdalah in the first Shmona Esrei, it's as if you did not daven. But here's the problem with that. Do mehadrin alei, and we make him go back and daven again. But here's the problem. Or minu tovelo hiskirik v'ratz kisham b'tchias amesim. Rabbi says, if you didn't say mashiv v'rach morid agashem, or she'ila b'ber kasasharim, or v'sein talamot libracha, in Baruch Alinu, machzirin oso. So Rabbi said, those are mistakes for which you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. But Havdalah bechonin hadas in machzirin oso. Rabbi said, alocha lemaisa, when it comes to atachanantanu, even if you did not say atachanantanu, then what? You don't have to go back. So Rabbi said, atachanantanu is in addition. Why? Shiachala omra lakos. Ultimately, again, because you can go ahead and you could always say kiddush. I'm sorry, Havdalah alakos. So if Rabbi say, it's interesting to see over here that in this case, so remember, Rabbi say very specific, I didn't daven minchan Shabbos. What's the halacha? I didn't daven minchan Shabbos. What do you do? Ma'irif twice. Rabbi say, what's the goal over here? Say atah charantan shmona esrei number one, demonstrate to the fact that shmona esrei number one is my weekday shmona esrei, and then don't say it in shmona esrei number two because that's my tashlumin. So the Brisa said, if I didn't say it in shmona esrei number one, and I did say it in Shmona Esrei number two, Shmona Esrei number two will count as my obligatory Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei number one doesn't count for anything because you can't put tashlumin before obligatory prayer. Therefore, if you want to daven tashlumin, you have to daven another Shmona Esrei. To which the Gemara says, that's so strange because atachanantanu in general is not something you have to go back for. Yet here it makes all of the difference. To which the Gemara says, kasha. It's real kasha. I'm both saying the truth is, it's actually not, it's interesting that the Gemara ends off, the Rush points out over here that the Gemara says Kasha, but it's not really a Kasha. It actually makes perfect sense. Why does it make perfect sense? Because Rabbi say Atachanantanu doesn't matter if either you leave it out both times or you say it both times. But the moment that you're saying it in one and leaving it out in the other is the moment that it does make a difference for tashlumin purposes. So halacha lemaisa, if you're saying in the Shmona Esrei number two and didn't say in the Shmona Esrei number one, that's indicative that what? That's indicative that halacha lemaisa, you're saying Shmona Esrei number two is the obligatory one and Shmona Esrei number one is the tashlumin one. That's where it's problematic. So you could put it in both or omit it from both, and it's absolutely okay. But the moment that you put it in number two and leave it out in number one is the moment that you've disrupted the order, made number two your obligatory prayer, so that's fine. Shmona Esrei number two will count as your obligatory ma'ariv, but now you'll have to go back and re-pray, re-daven the tashlumin if you want to. Itmar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi say, here we come to an incredible, you saw the sticky mara. Here we go, Tfilos, Rabbi Yossi, Nehra Michanino says, Tfilos, avos tiknum. Rabbi Yossi says, the tefillos shachris mincha ma'ariv were instituted by the avos. So we daven Shmona Esrei, we daven shachris mincha ma'ariv because Avram daven shachris, Yitzchak daven mincha, Yaakov daven ma'ariv. Rabbi Shimon Levi Omer, no, tefillos keneged tamidin tiknum. It's not true. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, we daven why? The tefillos correspond to karbanos. We daven shachris because there was a tamid shel shachar. We daven mincha because there was a tamid shel bein arba'im, and we'll see how I will daven ma'ariv. So Tanya Kavasid, Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Tanya Kavasid, Rabbi Shimon Levi. A brisa that supports both these opinions. Tanya Kavasid, Rabbi Yosef Chanina. We have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yosef Chanina, namely that what Avram tikein tefillah shachris. Avram instituted shachris. Shneimar vayashkim Avraham baboker ala makom asher amad sham. Ve'in amida ela tefillah. So Moshe says, Avram Avinu got up early in the morning to the place where he stood. And the Gemara says, amida standing refers to what? Prayer. Shene emar, vayamod pinchas vayipalel. So Moshe says, that's the raya, amida tefillah, Avram Avinu, and vayashkim, morning, Avram Avinu davened in the morning. Therefore, Avram instituted shachris. Yitzchok tikein tefillas mincha. Yitzchok, now Moshe, you understand, of course, when it says Aram instituted Shachris, so we'll say that of course does not mean Shachris as we have it, right? Of course it doesn't mean Shmona Esrei, and it doesn't mean Tefillah. What it means is Aram instituted the concept of praying in the morning. Yitzchak instituted the concept ultimately again of praying in the afternoon. So Yitzchak tikin Tefillas Mincha Shneimar Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada Lifnos Erev. Right, Parshas Chayisara, Yitzchak Avinu goes out into the field to pray when Lifnos Erev, in the evening, Ve'ein Sicha Ela Tfila, and ultimately again Sicha, Rabbi say, which literally means to converse means to pray. Shene Emar Tfila La'ani Kiyatov V'Lifnei Hashem Yishbach Sicho. Right, a prayer of the pauper when he wraps himself and before Hashem he spills out his dialogue. Yitzchak tikein tfilas arvis. Excuse me, Yaakov Avinu instituted Ma'ariv. Shneemar vayifka b'makom vayalen sham. Ve'in pigia elati. Lashon of pigia means prayer. Shneemar va'ata al tispalel ba'ata am hazeh va'al tisa ba'adam rino tfilah v'al tifka bi. So we'll say. So this is the brisa that supports the opinion that tfilos kineged avos tiknum. The forefathers, the Avos Davin, Avram in the morning, Yitzchak in the afternoon, Yaakov in the evening, and therefore we do exactly the same. The concept of prayer. And I will say, so the truth is, there's an incredible Marsha that I'm going to have to save for tomorrow, but I will say, that's the first Braisa. Tanya Kavvesed B'Shub and Levi. So Braisa says, B'Shub and Levi, Mipnei Ma'amru Tfila Shachar Ad Chatzos. Why did the rabbi say that you could daven Shachar until midday? Shari Tamid Shal Shachar Krav Holich Ad Chatzos. Because you could offer up the morning Tamid up until Chatzos. Rabbi Huda Omer ad arba shos. Rabbi Huda says you can only daven shachar until 4 hours into the day. Why? Shari tamid shal shachar kare v'holich ad arba shos. Well, Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that the tamid shal shachar could only be offered up until 4 hours. So we'll say, so again, without getting into the machlokus about the time, that's not really the important part over here. What is the important part? That where does the concept of shachris come from? Tamid shal shachar. Why can you daven mincha until the evening? Shari tamid shal bein arba'im kara v'holich ad ha'erev. Rabbi Huda Omer ad plaga mincha. Shari tamid shal bein arba'im kara v'holich ad plaga mincha. So we'll say, so again, same thing. Where does mincha come from? Leaving aside the machlokes about the time, we'll get back to the timing in just a little bit. But where does the concept of mincha come from? Tamid shal bein arba'im. Umipnei ma'amru tfilas erev ein lakeva. Why do they say that Ma'ariv could be daven the whole night? Shari evarim u'pidarim shalom es'achlim be'erev krevim v'holchim kala layla. Because it will say at night, there was no sacrificial service. So what would they do at night? They would burn all the leftover fats and limbs. So again, you see that Ma'ariv corresponds to the burning of the sacrificial parts. Umipnei amru shal musafen kala yom. And why do they say that you could daven musaf the whole day? Shari karban shal musafen kare v'hai kala yom. Rabbi Huda Omer ad sheva shos, shahare karban musaf halach v'kara, I'm sorry, kara v'holich ad sheva shos. So I'll say ultimately again, as Rabbi Yehuda says that Allah Kalamaisa, the Musaf could be offered up until 7 hours in the day. So we'll say, what does this Braisa show? This Braisa ultimately shows that what? That Halacha Lamaisa, Tfilos Kineget Timidin Tiknum. Their prayer was instituted corresponding to sacrificial service. Essentially, in the absence of sacrificial service, we have tefillah. So we'll stop over here for today. I'm stopping mid-braisa, but we'll stop over here. But understand over here what's at stake. It's the fundamental machlokes, like the world. Our existence rests on this gemara. Because I will say, this gets to the very core. Why do we pray? What is the essence of davening? Do we daven ultimately again because the avos daven, Avram in the morning, Yitzchak in the afternoon, Yaakov in the evening, that's why we daven? Or we daven ultimately again corresponding to sacrificial service? This major machlokus has dramatic, overwhelming ramifications, which we will in Yer Seshem get into tomorrow, as well as seeing the bottom line conclusion for this gemara. Shalom.